Well, life has been crazy around here. I don't know if you guys notice any changes around the building or not, but we started with a kids' camp, and you still see some of the props up here, and we went from that to stage three emergency evacuations and the firestorm of last Friday night a week ago. And then the love of people filled this property and other properties with their love and their products. And thank you. There's a lot of churches working together. There's a lot of just community members working together. Today, there's a couple other churches over there running the distribution, and I think the LDS Church, a bunch of folks are over there, and some folks from Lewiston and the Nazarene Church are over there, and I'm not sure who's over there. I haven't been over there yet, but a lot of you have been there for days and days and days, so just thank you. We do appreciate it. We love you. We know there's days ahead and weeks and months ahead, and serving and loving others is what we do, right? Amen. Amen. A couple announcements, and we're going to dismiss the kids, but starting on Tuesday at the Legion Hall, there's going to be a multi-agency resource center set up, and there's going to be all sorts of agencies there who have information on how to help you and your neighbors. And there's going to be people there on how to rebuild homes, how to deal with insurance companies. There's going to be church groups there and denominational groups that have construction people that's going to come in. There's just going to be Red Cross. There's going to be state, and I don't know if there's going to be any federal folks there or not, but there's just going to be a lot of resources there, probably 20 or so. And you're invited to stop in Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and it's like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. or so. I forget what the hours are, but 10 to 8. I was close. I missed it an hour on both ends, but 10 to 8. And so spread the news, and that's some great news. And then one last announcement. Saturday, we're having Faith Cook's memorial service here in the church. And the dinner is across the road at the Nazarene Church. So that's going to be some more busyness and serving for us. And so I just wanted you guys to know that and be ready. And a lot of us knew Faith. She was here forever in our community. And her families are around that we know and we love. So kids, we're going to dismiss you for Children's Church. You get to go upstairs. One of these days, they're going to go right through that door. Could somebody adjust this mic a little more, too? It's a little crazy. One of these days, we're going through that door, and there's going to be kids' ministry out there. And that's what all that building is designed for. But it's worked pretty good for what we're using it for right now. And so thank you, all of you that have just worked and helped. We do appreciate it. We appreciate it very much. I'm going to be talking to us today about finding our footing. It's been a summer of finding for us here at the Life Center. We've been talking all summer about finding peace and finding hope and finding strength and finding our dependence upon God. And we've been talking about finding whatever you're missing in your life. We feel like this is a summer where God's wanting to bring those things to you. And this week, we have to find our footing. We've been knocked down a little bit this week. And so we're going to talk about that. How do we find our footing? And I'm not talking about just getting up and staggering and wandering around in a dazed look. I'm talking about getting back up and getting stabilized and getting strong and getting ready to move forward again. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. There was a guy named David, and he had a bunch of his friends that were a part of an army. They were soldiers. David and his friends had been off fighting battles, and it was time for them to come home. And as they came home, they rounded over the top of a hill, and all they saw was smoke in the distance. Some of us know what that looks like. And they thought, that can't be our town. That can't be our families. That can't be our homes. But it was. It was Ziklag, their town, their homes, and their family. While they were gone, the Amalekites came and they captured their wives and their children and everybody that was in the town, and they carried them off. They took all their livestock and all their wealth and carried it off with them. And then they burnt the city. That would be a bad thing to come home to, wouldn't it? The men were so discouraged, distraught. In fact, it says that they wept so hard there was no more strength to weep anymore. Have you ever run out of tears? Have you ever just been so exhausted from sorrow that you have no more strength? That's what they had experienced. These guys, they'd never had it easy before anyway. They were kind of going through hard times. They had been living in caves before this. They'd been running for their lives before this. And now they had found a city and they'd established a city and they'd given their family homes and they had a society. But all of a sudden it was taken away. And in the midst of their grief and in the midst of their sorrow, they were looking around for somebody to blame. Is that common? Isn't it common for us sometimes? Who are we going to blame? It's got to be the government. It's got to be somebody's fault. Whose fault is it? It's got to be somebody's fault. And of course, they looked at David, their leader, and they said, we're going to blame him. It's your fault. It's your fault. David's going through his own stuff, isn't he? He's lost his wives, his children, his wealth, his city, his hope. He's lost his future. It looks like it's all gone. It's up in smoke. And then his friends that are still with him turn on him. And the guys were so upset, they actually said, I think we're going to kill you. And I think we're going to stone you. We're going to throw rocks at you until you die. Now, David had a choice to make in those moments. A lot of leaders do. In those moments, what are you going to do when somebody's attacking you and you're full of your own grief, you're full of your own sorrow? David encouraged himself in the Lord. David went to the real resource. He went to his Creator and his God. And he said, okay, God, what are we going to do? I really like that. When you know God, it's not, what are you going to do? It's, what are we going to do? God, you're with us, and I'm with you. What are we going to do? He said, God, should I chase down the enemy that has my family? And if I do, will I recover them? Will we regain our footing? Is this the end, or is there hope? Are we down for the count, or can we get up again? And God spoke to David like God does still speak to us today. And he said, go after them, for surely you will regain it all. It will all be restored to you. So somehow David rallied his men and said, guys, we can sit here. We can stay in our grief and our sorrow, or we can get up and go do something about it. That's one thing I like about our town. We're willing to get up and go do something about it. I've been seeing some possibility of some shirts showing up going Kamei strong. You know, maybe we could say North Idaho strong. But I don't know about you, but I'm kind of a guy that says Jesus strong. And David knew that. He went to his God. He went to his Creator. So David and his men, they rallied and they got up and they started trailing the enemy and following the one who had taken his family away. And they come upon this young man, boy, sick, dying. They fed him. They brought him to the distribution center, I think is what they did. They clothed him and they fed him and they filled his backpack full of clothes and, you know, they took care of him. And man, I was reading what they fed him and I'm going, that dude was hungry, you know. And finally he revived and they said, who are you and where are you from? You know, disaster has a way of tearing down barriers, doesn't it? I really like seeing in our community the barriers coming down between people that may have been at odds against each other, all that's coming down. He said, I'm an Egyptian, and I was a slave to an Amalekite man. I got sick 3 days ago, and they left me here to die. David said, will you show us where they are? And will you help us get our stuff back and get our families back? And he said, yeah, I'll help you. So he led them to where the Amalekites were. And of course, the Amalekites, they were having a big old party. They were dancing and celebrating and drinking. And they had gained a lot from all of the attacks of people around them. David and his men executed a plan. And at the end of the day, about a 24-hour period, they had their families back. They had their stuff back. And it was a good day. They found their footing again. On their way back to Ziklag, see, they went home to rebuild. They went back to Ziklag to rebuild. And on their way home, there was a group of about 200 guys who, they were exhausted. They had nothing left to give. And they sat down and they just recovered and they protected some of the stuff that they had left behind. And the 400 warriors came back to these 200 that were sitting down and they said, we're going to give them back their wives and kids. That was generous, right? We're going to give them back their wife and kids, but they're not getting any stuff back. And David said, oh no, that's not what's going to happen. The people that stayed and done certain jobs behind the front lines are just as honorable and they're a part of us just as much as those that were on the front lines and did the battle. And I love that heart, don't you? Everybody has a role to play, and some are stronger and some aren't as strong, but everybody plays a role and everybody gets to participate in the victory. And everybody gets to participate in all of the process. And so from that day forward, it became a rule in Israel that the people who stayed behind were rewarded and honored just as much as those on the front lines. I love that rule. I think we need that rule in Kamei. I mean, we got some heroes in the house today. We got some people that risked their lives. We have some people that gave their resources and protected homes, protected lives. We have heroes in the house today. And then we have girls that worked in the brain. Our sound booth up there became the brain of information transmission and receiving, and those girls are just as much a part of the victory as the guys that got the gloves and got the axes and the pulaskis and the water hoses and the dozers went out and fought the fires. Because we're a community. I want to read those verses to you. They're in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I want to talk about a few things. And how does this relate to us today? It says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag. They attacked Ziklag, and they burned it with fire. And they had taken captive the women and those that were there from small to great, and they did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. And David said, David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And then David said to Abathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abathar brought the ephod to David. And so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went, he and his 600 men that were with him, and they came to the brook Bezer, and those stayed who were left behind. And David pursued, he and the 400 men, for 200 stayed behind. They were so weary they could not cross the brook Bezer. Then they found an Egyptian in the field, and they brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread or drank no water for 3 days and three nights. And David said to him, to whom do you belong, and where are you from? He said, I'm a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherethites and in the territory which belongs to Judah and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? And he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And when he had brought him down, there were spread over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil, or anything that had been taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and the herds that they had driven before and the other livestock, and he said, this is David's spoil. Now David came to the 200 men that had been so weary they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook Bezer. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with, I'd hate to be in that crowd. Wicked and worthless men. You see, it wasn't women, it was just men, right? You girls know that. And all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we recovered except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. And David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who went down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies, and they shall share alike. So it was from that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Some things we can learn from this story. They regained their footing. Yeah, we're not the first community to go through a really bad time. This probably isn't the first time some of us have gone through a really bad time. It probably won't be the last time some of us will go through really bad times. Lessons that we need to learn, number one, is we can regain our footing. We can get strong again. We can recover. I think another lesson we can learn is we're never alone. We're never alone. There's always people around us that love us and are willing to help us. And we've seen this outpouring, mountains of stuff here. Each item is just a symbol of somebody's love, somebody's compassion, somebody's willingness to help. As pastor, I look around and I say, what a mess. But it's a mess of love. Have you ever had a mess of love before? Or a lovely mess? We have a lovely mess around here. Some of you are a lovely mess. Don't let anybody tell you any different. You are a lovely mess. The fire did not just burn some homes. It did not just burn our landscape. It burned some things that were dividing us. It burned some things that were ugly in our community. And I love seeing that part of what's happened. Fire can purify. All the weeds are gone on my property right now. They're all gone. A bunch of other stuff is gone too, but my weeds are gone. I hope that each one of you can allow this moment in time to burn some things in your life that were negative, hurtful, divisive, and painful, and let those things go. See, they're in the big picture, some of those things are pretty small now. Some of the things that we had prioritized and had focused on are pretty small right now, aren't they? Some of those unforgiveness items that we've hung on to, pretty small right now. Some of those things we didn't understand and didn't agree with, pretty small right now. And just let that stuff go. The men wept so much they had no more power to weep. It's okay to cry, even if you're a guy. Maybe you should get that t-shirt. It's okay to cry if you're a guy. I don't know. These guys wept. These were warriors. And they wept. Tears can be cleansing also, that release. You should find a way to unburden your emotion. You should find people to talk to. Definitely talk to God. He loves you and He's there for you, but He wants you to talk to one another also. And share that and be there for each other. I think a lesson that I learned as I read this is I shouldn't blame people. Facebook is a place where people blame people a lot, blame others a lot. I don't know about if you guys have ever seen any of that, but I've seen it a couple times out there. The barber shop, the beauty shop, the grocery store, any place where there's two people, you can have these conversations. Who do we blame? Who's not doing it right? Who's not doing it well enough? Who should have done something else? There's always plenty of that to go around. We don't have to be those people, though. We don't have to be negative. What I loved about David is he rallied himself and he helped the people that were accusing him. And he helped the people that were blaming him. That takes a real man or woman, doesn't it? I think Jesus called it loving your enemies. I think that's what Jesus called it. Just the ability to rise up and help the people that might be accusing you or misunderstanding you. David really didn't take it personal. Have you guys taken stuff like that personal? There's times that I've taken it personal. I go, fine, let them lay there in their tears then. David didn't do that. He didn't take it personal. He said, I know the guys are going through stuff. I know they're having their moment here. I'm their leader. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to help them recover what they've lost. And I just want to encourage you that when somebody blames you or somebody points a finger at you, in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their grief, don't take it personal. Just love on them anyway. Help them anyway. Encourage them anyway. I've been on both sides of that fence. It's a whole lot healthier to just love them anyway, isn't it? It's all quiet out there. You feeling convicted? I've been there too. Maybe just a couple more points and then let us go to that barbecue here in a minute, huh? In all of your searching for resources and help, make sure you connect with God. Make sure you connect with God. David could have just rolled over and gave up that day. My family's gone. My men hate me. Think I'm going to go eat worms, you know. He could have done that. But what he did is he asked God, God, what should I do? God, are you still there? Sometimes that's, hello. Are you still up there, God? Why me? Yeah, I've been there before too. Why me? Why us? When I think about where David was in his life, I'm going, whoa, that was hard. It was hard. David became a great leader, great king. He did some great things, but he had to overcome some hard things to do it. And I look at that and I'm going, we have a great future ahead of us in spite of the pain today, in spite of the agony, and we have unanswered questions. I think David had some unanswered questions still. I think he was just still going, God, I don't know why. I don't know how come. I don't know what to do next. But God gave him one answer, and he acted on that answer, and he began the recovery. We want to help our community begin their recovery. We've said prayers, and we're going to keep saying prayers for all of you and all of our community. We're going to find out, God, how do we do this? What do we do next? And we're going to find out, and we're going to help each other because we have a great future ahead of us. We still have a great future ahead of us, each one of us. And I think maybe my last point was it takes a team to regain your footing. I know some folks that try to do it all by themselves. Man, it's a lot better with a team. It's a lot better with a community. David refused to allow division amongst his people. We're better than them. We're stronger than them. They didn't do this and we did that. And David refused to allow there to be a division. And we're going to come to some days in our future where there can be some finger pointing and some division, and we're going to help this group, but we're not going to help that group, and we're going to help these people, but we're not going to help. These people are more deserving than those people, and we just really need to not allow that to happen in our community. We need to say, we all are valuable. We all need help. We're all on the same team. Everybody gets help. Everybody gets loved on. Everybody gets prayed for. Everybody. David made that a rule. In any time he had influence over a group of people, he said, it's never us and them. It's only us. It's never the big I and the little you. It's only us. I like that, don't you? Can we regain our footing? Absolutely. Can we be strong? Absolutely. Will we be stronger later than we were before? I think so. I think we can. Will we help each other? That's already been proven. We're going to help each other. Is that going to quit today? No way. It's going to be a couple of years, and we're going to help each other. We are. We can regain our footing. We can find strength. We can recover. I want to pray for us. We're going to bring a prayer team up here, and you'll have an opportunity to be prayed for in just a minute. But before I'm done, I just want to pray for us together. Would you pray with me? Father, we've gone through the fire. And what has risen out of the ashes has been strong. The love has been big. It has not been without its challenges or without its problems. But God, we're going to keep rising. We're going to rise to the occasion. With everything that's within us, we make that commitment to ourselves. We make that commitment to each other. But God, we know that the best resource is not inside of us. It's you. And so, Father, we come to you today and we ask, would you take what looks really bad, what feels really bad, and would you make us strong again? Would you help us regain our footing? And would you help us be stronger and better in our future because we learned how to manage a crisis like this? We learned how to lean on each other, and we regained hope in our fellow man, and we regained hope in one another. God, we ask you for that. God, I pray you would comfort every person in their sorrow and in their grief. God, I pray you would help us process our emotions, not just shove them down or ignore them, but let us process those well with each other, with you. And God, we will regain our footing because you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Arby's going to come up and close us out today.
All right. Regaining your footing, finding it. Your homework this week is helping somebody else find their footing. Can you take that home this week?